So where did you attend school in Los Angeles?
Over the school they called Central Junior High is right now, they don't have it, they tear it down and make the headquarters, school headquarters.
The Board of Education?
Board of Education, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And from there, I graduated, then I went to Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Belmont up to around about 10th grade and I didn't go anymore.
Uh-huh, I see. So all that time when you were in Midland attending school, did you have to help the family in the laundry, you work in the family?
Well, didn't help too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, as I said again, I'm just more of a playful boy.
Of course, you were the only the only child.
Yeah.
So
I helped just a little bit, not too much at all.
What kind of work?
Well, it's a laundry work. Uh-huh. I just more or less fold the socks and you know, nothing to iron, anything like that,
mm-hmm.
because I was too young to iron then.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like something that don't have to iron, I just fold them up.
Uh-huh.
That's about it.
I see. Can you describe a little bit about the laundry? Back then, you know, when you first came, and you probably were very sort of anxious to learn something, or you don't care much about the laundry.
Well, as you say, the last word, don't care much at anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, I learned about a little about laundry, but I never done anything, but by watching my dad's doing it,
uh-huh. Okay,
how the people bring the laundry, we make our own ticket. That one of those number, you know, you stamp on it, make it twice, the
mm-hmm.
same number.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with that slip, we tear it in half,
mm-hmm.
give him one, and we keep one for the, you know, put in the laundry. And then how my dad used to separate those the laundry
mm-hmm.
and by calling each pieces
mm-hmm.
and writing down on the slip.
Mm-hmm.
And then he separated from a white and to the dark, and then to the dirtiest,
mm-hmm.
they separate different section,
mm-hmm.
separated. And then after when separated, when he wash, of course he material that I remember he used salt, soda, soap, and the salt is it seemed like my main purpose.
Mm.
Clean up the laundry today. We have a you know one of those big tumbler, say like a regular. Big business, big tumbler, and
uh-huh.
hold about 500 pieces.
Oh, so it's not hand laundry anymore.
No, not
mm-hmm.
hand.
Mm-hmm.
Never did was hand laundry.
There was never.
Yeah, the only hand laundry is used iron.
Ah.
You see,
okay.
You never did wash by hand.
Okay.
They wash by the big tub. They hold about 500 pieces.
Uh-huh.
So they start out with the cleanest and the white first. Then when that cleaned out, next to the cleanest, a little darker clothes, different section where we're cleanest. It's the way we're going. See. And then we have to dry it, and then we have to iron it. And then after iron it, you know, then we have to separate all the, put them all together again by that slip. See.
Uh-huh.
Whatever we slip on, that's where we got to get those back.
Uh-huh.
And after that, then we bundle it.
Uh-huh.
And then we put a bundle and tie it. And then when the customer come in, he give us a slip. Okay. Then the slip, we compare the other slip
uh-huh.
and the other half,
uh-huh.
the same number.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we go about it. So. And then in the meantime, when they separate the clothes, that's the time when they put the so much cost so much.
Mm-hmm.
And they add it up until mm-hmm. the whole bag cost so much. So that's then you know how much it costs. Eh?
Who was the one in charge of dealing with the customer? So your grandfather or your father or your uncle?
My grandfather, no, all of us still deal with it, but actually the grandpa opened that laundry. Then since my father came over, my father and my grandfather worked together.
Mm-hmm.
Then my uncle came over.
Mm-hmm.
Then both three of them worked together for about a year. And then grandpa didn't do it very much more. Then just uncle and dad do all the whole business there.
Yeah,
and the only thing that grandpa do is get up in the middle of the night, maybe about 1, 2, or 3 o'clock, You usually have this hard color, see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, get they stiffen.
Right.
You make it stiff, see?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the only thing he done ever since that. But since I got there, he had hardly work at all.
Uh-huh. How old was he then? Was he about?
I think he was around about 40, 50 years old, somewhere. Like
so he's sort of semi-retired in the early age.
Yeah,
right?
Hardly because your two sons could do all the work.
Oh my.
So he just take it easy.
Uh-huh.
But always do it for us, I could see. Ever since I've seen him do this color work,
uh-huh.
Get up in the nighttime.
I see.
But everybody go to sleep or he get up and doing the work.
Uh-huh. Why always in the nighttime at 1 or 2?
Well,
was any reason at all?
Probably, to my opinion, look upon him, I think if he working at daytime, he might get in the way.
Ah, okay.
And this way, he get up do by himself and do his page.
Uh-huh.
Do how fast he want to go on that. Uh-huh. I think that's where I look at him.
How big was the laundry?
The laundry, I would say, is about as long as his house.
Oh, this is like
And got a little bit office.
Uh-huh.
See? And
so this is house that like a 20 and
I went to this wall over there.
15,
that's the front.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. 300, 400 square feet, mm-hmm, something.
Probably.
Uh-huh.
And is and just got just a little bit office, you
uh-huh.
know, so people come in.
Uh-huh. Did your mom work in the laundry?
Yes, my mom worked. Yeah, she do also like the way I said, you know, do like the job that I'm just helping her, in other words.
Folding and
but
she has to
cook.
But
she do all the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when Johnny and the rest of the born, you know, as she would go by, she have to take care of the children and do all the cooking.
Okay, yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. Did you live in the laundry or back of the laundry?
No, we live in the laundry. The upstairs, we got three bedroom.
Oh,
see.
I see.
Except Grandpa lived downstairs, got a little right under the stairway.
Uh-huh.
Got a little room over there.
Uh-huh. I see. So your mother has to take care of the housework.
Yeah, all that. Uh-huh. Well, actually, in the laundry, there's not much housework to take care of.
The whole house is the laundry.
If I was just floor, go super floor is about it. See,
uh-huh.
No dusting, anything like that.
Uh-huh. Well, since you were the child, you can go out and play with the other children. How about your mom? Did your mom make any friends?
No, my mom, she never did go out. My dad never take her out. Looked like she just, to me, I think it's a shame because the way my dad treat my mom, because just like in a jailhouse in a little room, never been go out.
Mm-hmm.
The only place she goes is the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And now she began getting used to that. You ask her to go out, she don't want to go out. She won't stay home. It is a shame. I mean, if I knew better before and understand things like that, I would take her out.
Uh-huh. Wow, you were a child.
A child,
don't
know anything about it.
Uh-huh.
All I do is go
but
out
she
and
didn't
play.
Complain.
Yeah.
So your mom probably didn't have chance to learn English.
No.
As much.
Didn't have chance.
Do you know where your father learned the
He doesn't. He just learned us in the laundry.
Dealing with the customers.
Deal with the customer.
Did you have to help like in the later days when you start learning English? So when you start learning English, did you help? You know, dealing with the customers and help your father?
No, I mostly outside playing.
Oh, you don't even.
That's the reason why my dad got mad at me a lot of time on account of that.
Uh-huh. I see. So you were at school most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find, you know, the relationship between you and your, you know, other friends?
Well,
because you were the only Chinese students there.
Yeah, it seems like everybody liked me over there. And then I began learning English there, and I began to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had
no trouble
with not a friend at all, because I'm in a Chinese in that little town there, and the rest is all American people.
Mm-hmm.
So every time they see the little Chinese people, they like the curiosity, like to talk to them, you know, like that.
Yeah.
In fact, whole Midland is my friend now.
Uh-huh. How big was the town now? At that time when you got there?
Oh, maybe about two, pretty hard to say, maybe about 10,000.
Uh-huh,
very
okay.
Small town.
I see. Mm-hmm. So, did any children try to make fun of you? As
yes, they do. They all make fun of me.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of time I get in trouble with them. They call me a different name, Chinese name, you know.
Like what?
Well, I wouldn't say that's a pretty, pretty nasty word. Now you can use your imagination on that word.
Okay.
I used to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
See, I pretty go every day I must have a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't fight, friends always start pushing me over and they say, oh, you could beat her up and this and that. After the fight, we're friends again.
Uh-huh.
So actually, it's not fight. Mostly argument, and you hit each other a couple of times.
Teaching each
other.
Yeah.
Start rationing a little bit. That's about it.
Well, after you sort of did a little bit fighting, you know, physical fighting, you probably, did they sort of respect you a little bit more? Because
they do respect me on that, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to, as I say, where I go, I was in China, it seems to be automatically a leader or something.
Uh-huh.
Because since I know them, they always take me as a leader, like.
Mm-hmm. So even among the non-Chinese,
among
Americans,
the Americans,
they
yeah.
would still
they feel
respect
the same
you
way.
As a
yeah,
leader.
Respect me, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very much. Respect you very much on that.
Ah, I see.
Anything they don't know, say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. I see.
And a lot of things I don't know, I just say right out anyway.
So you had a pretty nice childhood.
I did.
Uh-huh.
A very nice childhood.
Uh-huh.
Very enjoyable.
Uh-huh.
The only thing is too much playful.
So why did you decide to come to Los Angeles?
Well, nothing. The family's getting too big. And the
how
depression
big?
Coming up. Well,
at that
the
time.
The seven. And Mary, my sister,
is
next to the youngest,
uh-huh.
and she when she was a baby.
Uh-huh.
Billy's the youngest, is a boy, but he wasn't born yet.
Uh-huh.
So Mary's
so
a little
Mary
bit.
Mary was born.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you decided that
I decided to take off.
Uh-huh. At that time, you were, how old were you then?
Oh, I was around about, let's see, 8 and 11 is 19.
Uh-huh.
17. We won't.
You can't. You start your journey about 1932.
1931.
31.
Yeah.
And so you were like 18 and between 18 and 19.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. And so, why? There's any sort of fantasy about Los Angeles, or can you talk about
yes,
the art?
Yes, there's always think about Hollywood, trying to be a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I love to go see him. Go see the show.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be back over there. We sneak in, go in the theater,
mm-hmm.
and during those time only 5 and 10 cents cents to go in and see the theater. But during that season, it's hard to get 5 cents or 10 cents. So we usually sneak in there,
mm-hmm.
and even the manager saw us. That I guess he overlooked us,
mm-hmm.
and we used to when you see him when we. Snuck in already and sitting on a chair. When we see him come, we always go down like that, but slow down on the chair so he won't ever see us, see? But he already know us, all that, see? So he never did bother us,
uh-huh.
see? And if we snuck in, we just snuck in, see? Like, one time, like, there's a, what you call a manhole on, right on the sidewalk. That manhole lead under the cellar,
uh-huh.
Under the cellar then, to the basement. It was a men's room, man.
Mm-hmm.
And from men's room, we go up in the theater. That's how we snuck in a lot of time.
I see.
See, like the gang of us, but maybe 6, 7 of us, or maybe a dozen of us, we circle around that hole there, man's hole.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see nobody around, then one jump in, see? Go down, go in there.
Mm-hmm.
One by one, we go in, see?
I see.
And a lot of outside don't want to see, but they help us by just a surround so nobody can see us. So that's how we got in, see?
So not all of you enjoy movies.
No, not
some
all
of you like that movies.
No,
and
I was the number one to join the movie.
Wow.
I really loved them.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I always think about Hollywood. See, I say, one of these days, I'm going to Hollywood.
And become a movie star.
Yeah.
did you ever discuss this with your parents?
No, never did. Uh-huh. Well, here's another thing too, because I was doing those time there, all these years I've been there, and I guess kids was born, got the children, and I was the oldest one, and I'm the latest one to work, and my dad's always bawled me out. I get disgusted, you know, getting bawled out, you know, and sometimes whip me, you know, now when father whip the children. But I get disgusted and I didn't care no much more. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, besides, it seemed like depression. I understand depression then a little bit, see.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much, but I still understand a little bit then. And I said, well, I don't know what to do, see. Because before I left there, I stayed at home, stayed in a friend's house for a couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
And come home and got bawled me out again.
So,
you know, just leave one way or the other. So I decided, I might as well leave, I get a chance. Because in the first place, too many children already, see, and a depression.
Mm-hmm. So you said that there are too many children in the family.
Yeah, too many children, yeah.
How did you notice, like, your family at the beginning, your father probably did pretty well in the laundry.
Yeah, he did.
Uh-huh. In terms of...
It's lately that back in around, start with 29, 28 is already beginning. Was the best year of his, of a family, of his life. The business is 1926.
Mm-hmm.
Then from then 26, it's a peak.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to come down in 28, actually start feeling a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Then 29, 30, start getting down.
Uh-huh.
So actually, all this year, I feel to myself understand a little bit as it goes along.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I said, well, in the depression like that, it's slow, everything's slow, no business. And then the factory over there, nobody hardly anybody. On the factory and everything. So I decide leave.
Did you ever try to find a job?
No, never did try to find a job because over there they don't want any Chinese working there. It's hard to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to work.
Mm-hmm.
The only job that I ever had was a newsboy.
Mm-hmm.
Doing paper and selling paper.
So you
I didn't even deliver, I'm sell paper only. Didn't even get a chance to get it delivered.
They wouldn't give you the delivery.
They wouldn't give me
job.
The route. Just give me sell. What little few cents I use for candy and things like that. So.
How long did you do that job?
I did it maybe for about a couple of years.
So, then your father, did your father ask you to stay in the laundry and help with the laundry, or he didn't even need any help?
Well, he didn't bother me to ask anything.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother's one that asked me to help. And then once in a while, when he got mad, he said, why don't you stay home and help out?
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. But he never asked me, but you know how the Chinese
right.
says, they don't say anything. It's up to you to know, see. Uh-huh. And so anyway, then we went outside with a friend, and we talked, say, let's go this and so forth. And so I began the conversation, and I started began talking about Hollywood. The idea of them hit them. So four of us agree. Say, well, we'll make up a date, certain time we leave. See? So let's see, that 1931, in I guess around about June was in the school. A few days later, I don't know, was it 26, 27, 28, I want to say. We are planned to leave it on Sunday, four of us. So on Saturday, because I say, well, we're going to leave early on Sunday morning, but this fellow named Steve, he said, no, he said, let me collect my paper route money first before we leave. I said, okay, we agree that. But on Saturday, we met, that's what we talk about, and in the meantime, one of the boys, he went burglarized some gas station.
Mm-hmm.
got two guns, and got some old corn and a few cents. And so say, we're gonna meet on Sunday, certain such time and where, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody agree. So this Steve, there's two Steve. There's Steve Simonek, Steve Protos, and the other one's Pete, I forgot his last name.
Mm-hmm.
See, and me, it's four mm-hmm. of us. So Sunday came along, one didn't show up.
Uh-huh.
That was Pete,
uh-huh.
and he's the one that broke in the gas station. I don't know if he got caught or what, whatever, we never did know, but of course he didn't get caught that way. Later on in the future, years, I went back and checked up on him.
Uh-huh.
He forgot to get up, and he said he didn't care too much to go.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, all this thing that he stole,
uh-huh.
He gave it to me, see?
Uh-huh.
And for me to put everything together, and so go. Before we start, a week before we start, each one get little things. Get some hatches and get some tent and different things for camping things. So this kid stole the stuff that gave to me. I put in what all our equipment at.
Where did you store that? Because it's sort of secret, right?
Yeah, it's a secret. That the secret is the funny part. We store it up in the hill.
Oh.
See? And it got a little hole in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we just cover up with a branch.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he gave me that. I took it back up there and put them all together. And Sunday come along. He didn't show up. Pete didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
See? But Steve Protos show up and Steve Smornak
mm-hmm.
Show up. Well, he in the meantime, Steve Smornak went around and collect his rock.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he finished clacking, I think it's around about, nearly around about 9 o'clock, I say,
mm-hmm.
in the morning. So all three of us went up in the hill, started up in the hill, and got our stuff. And we got a pretty good tent, I mean, enough for about two or three people in there. It was mm-hmm. a pretty big tent thing. And each one carried different things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. And the funniest thing of it, I got a brand new tennis shoe my dad just bought me. It was too small, it was a little tight, just perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that's the shoes that I wear.
Mm-hmm.
So we start out around 9 o'clock. We went up in the hill, what you call it, a part of his farm. We were over the hill there. And down a little south a little bit, up to what you call the Cook's Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
We went down there to Cook's Ferry and took a ferry. Went across,
mm-hmm.
and one of the highway, I forgot what highway it was, around about 7, 8 o'clock, about 9 o'clock, I was saying. And we got halfway to Pittsburgh, I mean. Halfway.
By foot?
By foot,
mm-hmm.
halfway. It's getting dark, so we camped. We went right in the, in the wood over there. A lot of tree growing, we couldn't even see. We got some flashlight, of course, and then we look at trying to find the best spot we could find, put up a tent. Well, we put up, we stayed overnight. Next morning, we got up, and we fix everything up, and then we take our way to Pittsburgh. So we reached Pittsburgh, I guess around about 7, 8 o'clock, it's pretty dark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my tennis shoe is so tight, it hurt. Halfway to Pittsburgh, I mean on our way to Pittsburgh there, I cut my tennis shoe to toe, leave my toe down, stick it out like a sore thumb, both shoes. So anyway, we have a few cents in our pocket, not too much. And I said, geez, I can't go like that with tennis shoe all cut up, it's uncomfortable. Anyway. I said, how about I'm going to get a pair of shoes?
Mm-hmm.
The three agreed. All right, we get ourselves a pair of shoes. So Steve and I go and get a pair, help me go better. Well, Steve's proto say he want to go look around
mm-hmm.
and see if he could finding food. See, we didn't want to try and save as much money as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Bum, you know, I go over and see if bum some food, bum. And at the same time, I go get my pair of shoes, and Steve and I go and bum some after I get my shoes. I get another pair of tennis shoes. That's a pretty good size now.
Uh-huh.
Fit me.
Uh-huh.
That was coming. I threw that away.
Uh-huh.
So we went different places. Later on, Steve and I separate again. Of course, before we start on that, we went to one of the parties that we meet over here.
Uh-huh.
See, before we take off.
Uh-huh.
So I bought my pair of shoes. I went one direction, Steve went there, trying to see if we could get some food.
Uh-huh.
And we come back in a certain time. So we all came back. Steve's didn't show up. This is Steve Shimonek and I show up.
Uh-huh.
See, Steve got some food and I got some food.
Uh-huh.
And then have more than we, you know, we could eat, so we wrap up and save it.
Uh-huh.
So I think we stay in the park for the night.
Uh-huh.
And then we wait for, so Steve left, we wait for a while. And still didn't show up. So anyway, in fact, we stayed at the park for overnight. Next morning, early in the morning, he still didn't show up. So we took off.
Mm-hmm.
We left, and he's gone. So we don't know where he went. So anyway, we took off, just two of us.
Mm-hmm.
From Pittsburgh, went down south, went through that... Wooling, isn't it? Wooling.
Yeah, Wooling, yeah.
Then, you're back close. We went from
what is, what's another Steve's name? Steve's?
Simonek.
Simonek,
yeah.
Simonek, S-M-O-N-A something.
Yeah, something. S-O-S-Y-M-O-K, net K something.
okay.
I got in there, you know, we'll call it. I still got his address here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, mm-hmm. So you said that you start from Pittsburgh
yeah.
the next morning and then you went.
Went to Wheeling, down south, Wheeling, then from there, Charleston, continue on. But in the meantime, on our way over there, you know, every day we go bum our food.
Uh-huh.
We go to the farming place. Asking is that you got any food spare, and or work for you for the food.
Mm-hmm.
We always say that we'd be glad to work for you to get something to eat.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever ask you why you were out there?
No,
alone?
Never, because during that time it's depression. A lot of people on the road like that.
Oh,
man, I'm not the only one. I got a lot of company.
See.
About at least about a million people, I would say,
uh-huh.
you know, on the road, see, because it's doing depression, hard, no place to work and all that. See. So actually, they understand it. See. So when we pray, I would say, can you spare a little food or something like that? See. Or or you have a job, we're glad to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
See.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time, most average, they don't just say, you just get a sandwich
uh-huh.
or maybe a cake. Or maybe some fruit,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, every time when we're hungry, we're going to go around and ask. It's on a hitchhike all the way down. See?
Did you find it's more difficult to get food than your friends because you are Chinese?
No, yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Most places I go, they seem to be give to us.
Uh-huh.
See?
Okay.
And I remember our Wheeling over there, when we're from Pittsburgh to Wheeling. There's a place, the kids playing around there, playing horseshoe, I remember. In fact, we played horseshoe with them. And then around in about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and all kids gone, I guess went home something, and happened there's a bicycle over there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't know how to ride a bicycle too well. In fact, I don't know how to ride a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
My friend does, you see,
mm-hmm.
Steve. So we look around, nobody, So he took a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
So took a bicycle, I ride with him, see,
mm-hmm.
on a handlebar. So when, maybe about a couple miles or something, then we went one of the bridge place there, I guess you have to pay to go across the bridge. And the guard over there, the bridge, they answered, already know that we stole that bicycle.
Oh.
So I said, would you mind leaving your bicycle? You took that bicycle, you know, so and so, and call up over here, and he wants his bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. So I took a bicycle back, so we hitchhiked again. Of course, we're going free, you know, as going across the bridge, you see. And from there, we're now in Charleston, and we just as goes along. And I think from Wheeling to Charleston, I think, a little farther down, I think there's a farmer with a horse and buggy. We are hitchhiking. And he gave us a ride. Well, we sit in the front with him over there. One of my friends happened to get his gun, you know, showing
uh-huh.
his pocket.
Uh-huh.
The farmer. I didn't know until after I could thought of. No, I said, "Farmer, no wonder he's so quiet."
Uh-huh.
He gave us a ride. He didn't say a word, and he kept on looking like that. And suddenly he said, "Hey, what'd you do with that thing?"
Uh-huh.
Asked Steve. See, I said, "Oh, this is a gun." And I said, "Oh, what are you gonna do with it?" I said, "We're not gonna do anything about it. We just protect ourselves."
Mm-hmm.
See, he said, "Oh." Then the farmer seemed to relax. In fact, it took us to pretty far distant, I think, to his home, I think, North Farm, and he feed us, and then we take off again.
Oh.
Yeah, this farmer.
So actually, when you hitchhike, you know, any kind of transportation means you
anything, as long come along, we just hitchhike like anything.
Do you remember? Yeah. How many kinds of transportation you have been on, you know?
No,
of course, including
I was
bicycle,
on, yeah.
including
mm.
the
mm.
whole